Canton's Morning News with Pam Cook continues now.
All right, it is game day, as I said, and we're going to head into a great double enshrinement weekend. So we thought it would be a good idea to get some intel from across the border in Pennsylvania. And what better way to do that with a talk sports icon, a sports guru, a god. Oh, he's going to kill me. I called him an icon, you know? I don't want him to kill me.
That just means I'm old. That's
all that means. Exactly why you're going to kill me. But he is a longtime sports legend in Pittsburgh. He has his show on 970 ESPN from noon to 2. And he also is the guy I listen to post-game Steeler games. And I don't know. There's so much that you do. There's too much for me to even mention here, Stan Saverin. My goodness gracious.
Well, yeah, let's not waste anybody's time with going through my resume, including many times I've been fired. So we can just get past that.
Okay, all right. And I should say, you are on with Kenny and JT quite frequently. They love talking football with you.
Yeah, I love being on. I've known Kenny for a very long time, and I always enjoy coming on WHBC with Kenny and JT. I look forward to whenever they have me on. Of course, we'll get to football season and a couple of meetings between the Steelers and Browns. Who knows, maybe more like last year.
Yeah. All right, well, before we get to the football talk, I want to ask you about the Hall of Fame class, because it's pretty amazing. Five members of the Pittsburgh Steelers going in. And, I mean, that's you're familiar with each and every one of these guys, right?
I am. It's really remarkable. I mean, I know all of them. I covered all of them. Bill Cowher, I hosted his TV show co-hosted his TV show for a number of years. I've known Bill Nunn ever since I came to Pittsburgh in 1976. And again, I covered all the players, and it's just, I'm a member of the Steelers Hall of Honor Selection Committee, and we just inducted the class of, or announced the class of 2021. So, you know, one of the benefits, I suppose, of being ancient is that I've been around and I've seen all these guys play, and so I've got, you know, personal recollections of just about everything they did as a Steeler.
Well, you know, it's funny because I look at everybody. I mean, Bill Nunn probably is before my time just a little bit, but and he wasn't a player, obviously. But, you know, the rest of them, I watched them, and I think it's really pretty awesome that you have a player and his coach going in, too.
Yeah, that's, you know, with Troy and Bill Cowher going into the Hall of Fame and together. And, of course, you know, things are kind of sandwiched because there was no induction last year. A lot of this would have taken place last year. But not only Bill and Troy, but also Alan Faneca, who I think should have been in a long time ago. And it's interesting. We're aware of all the contributions of the players, and there's no debating what they did, and certainly Bill Cowher. But Bill Nunn not only changed how the NFL scouted, but I think he changed America to a great deal, and maybe that sounds like an overstatement. I don't think so. Bill opened up avenues to, you know, HBCU players. You know, he was the guy behind drafting Hall of Famers like John Stallworth and Mel Blount, Donnie Shell going in this year around, L.C. Greenwood, Dwight White. I mean, he went to these places. Bill Nunn was an African-American, and he joined the Steelers scouting department when they drafted those great classes, especially in 1974. And he went to places where NFL teams didn't even bother scouting. And he found all these guys who turned out to be great players. So he impacted, and of course other teams saw what he was doing, and all of a sudden they went to places like Alabama, A&M, and places that, you know, South Carolina State, where Donnie Shell went, and found gems. And so Bill really changed not only how the NFL scouted, but also I think he changed where, you know, kids were willing to go to school. Because in those days, they couldn't go to Alabama. They couldn't go to Ole Miss. They weren't either. They went to schools like Grambling or smaller schools like that, or they came north to play at Ohio State, let's say, or Michigan. And he changed the way that, you know, people went to school and how the NFL scouted.
And you know what, Stan, that's one of my favorite things about being here in Canton, is because, you know, you look at the classes, you always have the headliners, you have the Peyton Mannings, you have the Troy Polamalus. But when you get to hear about the Bill Nunns and you get to look at the other players and the other coaches and also contributors and the things that they've done for the game, it's pretty darn amazing. You don't realize, you know, it's discounted sometimes because everybody wants to see Peyton Manning get up there and talk, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right, Pam. And I think that's part of the ambiance of the Hall of Fame. It gives you a sense of the game. I'm so glad that the NFL does open the Hall of Fame membership to contributors, whether they were front office people. I mean, yeah, you're right. We know Peyton Manning and whatever. But, you know, the builders of the game, the foundation of the game, really, some of the owners who are instrumental, certainly the coaches, front office people, scouts. I mean, I think that's you know, part of the charm of the entire ceremony.
All right, we'll talk a little bit about the game here. You know, Browns fans are still reveling in the big win at the playoffs last year, as they should be, as they should be. But what kinds of things are the Steelers looking to do to rebound from that this year?
Well, they haven't made significant changes to their starters. Their number one draft choice, you will see him tonight. Ben's not going to play. I doubt Ben plays more than a couple series the entire preseason. Mason Rudolph will start, followed by Dwayne Haskins, who you know, people in Canton will be familiar with. He's a reclamation project, but he's having a really good camp. But you know, we'll see how he does against the different colored jerseys. You will see Najee Harris, the running back from Alabama. Clearly, most people thought the best running back. He's been extremely impressive. He will play. How much? That's a different story. One of the things, the biggest question mark is Ben. You know, healthy. He looks great. He looks fine. He feels like last year he spent most of the offseason rehabbing that surgically repaired elbow. This year he didn't have to worry about that, and so he had a normal offseason. He looks fine in camp. We'll see. He's 39. I wouldn't mind being 39, but for a quarterback, it's a little bit of a different story. The biggest question mark they have is the offensive line. There are five. Not only is the offensive line as a collaboration a question mark, but each and every one of the five projected starters is a question mark. Either they didn't start before, or they started but are playing a different position. And so all the talk about Ben, and they do have a lot of weapons with wide receivers and a new tight end at Pat Freiermuth, who I doubt will play. He hurt his shoulder 2 days ago. And Najee Harris, and they want to emphasize the running game. It won't take much. They were last in the league last year in running, which for a Steeler team is sacrilegious. But the offensive line remains the biggest question mark.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the biggest issue facing them this season. I mean, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, to be honest. I think that they could be a playoff team, a wild card team, either sixth or seventh. But I think they're the third best team in the division, at least going in.
Yeah, I would agree. And I want to see how, if we notice anything different with Matt Canada's offense. You know, we may or we may not. It'll be interesting. I think that we will, but I want to see a little bit of that. And you're right about Dwayne Haskins. A lot of folks, you know, seeing him come out of Ohio State, really interested in checking him out tonight. That'll be fun. I will be at the game, so I'm looking forward to seeing them in person for just a little bit. Now, before I let you go, I do have to say, folks need to know the fact that you're a huge Cleveland Guardians fan, right?
No, I'm a huge Cleveland Indians fan. Guardians fan remains to be seen. I suspect, I am a huge fan. I mean, you know, I was born and raised in Cleveland in Mayfield Heights on the east side. I just can't get rid of that. And, you know, we'll see. I'm not getting rid of all my Indian stuff. Chief Wahoo to me, you know, he's a friendly guy. You know,
yeah.
He has a big smile on his face. I understand what's you know, behind that, but yes, I suppose till the day I die, which could be any minute now. They're killing me, but I'm still a big fan.
They are killing us too. I have Bobby DiBiasio coming up here in a little bit, about 20 minutes from now, and they're very frustrating right now. It's kind of hard, but it's all right. You keep all that.
Yeah, my sense is the way things are going. They'll be Guardians of last place anytime soon.
All right. Well, Stan, I'm so glad you came on with me this morning. I appreciate it. We'll do this again, okay?
I would love to, and thank you so much for having me, Pam.
Thanks.
You're on the air.
From the legendary studios of 1480 WHBC
in Canton, Ohio.
I'm a new listener and already a huge fan.